anthropology ads on this for some reason.
Anthropology ads?
Yeah. Yeah, anthropology and an eBay listing for U.S. 4 to 12 and a half women stiletto sandals, peep toe, high heel, hollow out, dating.
That's what they're for, all right.
I went to take a screenshot of it and it changed.
Oh, I hate that.
Annoying. And now I have Wolf Snowplow t-shirt from Clothing Monster. I'm going to send this.
Great.
It doesn't really look like a snowplow.
Huh. I think the wolf itself is the snowplow.
I guess that's what's implied, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's plowing through the snow.
He's no Baldo.
No.
Who is?
There are... I'm fascinated about the, like, we're just kind of jumping into this because I want to keep this in the pod. There's like a Balto universe, right? There are like multiple dogs that were involved in that. Or am I thinking
there's
of...
There's the animated movie and there's a mm-hmm. real dog and then there's a statue in Central Park.
But yeah. I think there are other dogs in the Serum Run.
Probably. I mean, you wouldn't want to put all Togo. Your eggs in one dog basket.
Diphtheria.
So, diphtheria, yes. There was a film...
in the Cleveland Zoo. That's weird. Oh my god, and they mounted his body.
Oh, of course they did.
So there's... Okay, so this is... Togo is the lead sled dog of the 1925 Serum Run to Nome. Despite covering the most distance of any lead dogs on the run over some of the most dangerous parts of the trail, his role was left out of contemporary news of the event at the time in favor of the last lead dog in the relay, Balto.
Why?
So Togo is in front. Well, they made a Togo movie on Disney. It's on Disney Plus, starring Willem Dafoe. And Togo is portrayed by a dog actor who is a direct descendant of Togo.
What?
That's cool. Fun. Yeah.
Wow. That's what Willem Dafoe's up to now, huh?
No other actor I've ever heard of is in this movie.
But there's so much background on, like, Togo is ill as a young puppy. Like a human background for this dog.
You wouldn't Canine feel for delinquent. The dog otherwise. Like, humans don't have any sympathy for dogs. We all know this.
I like that they have two different... Diesel plays adult Togo, and Riptide plays adolescent Togo.
Those are good dog names.
Those are good dog names. I guess they're all probably... You know, the whole thing with purebred dogs, and you have to name them... the letter of the alphabet of their litter number.
Excuse me? Really?
Familiar with this? Yes.
No, so I've never met a purebred dog.
If you have a purebred dog that is in a like show lineage, the naming convention is the first part of their name is the breeder that they came from, and then the second part of their name has to start with a letter of the alphabet corresponding to what litter they are. So my family had a dog who was a golden retriever. We didn't show him or anything, but he was of a like purebred
pedigree.
Lineage or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly right. And his name was High Counties Excalibur. Now, obviously we never called him that. Like we called him Cal. He was like a big, big, dumb white golden retriever. Beautiful, sweet dog, lived for a very long time. When you see a dog name, it's like a single name like that, but they're like a dog actor or some kind of important dog. Typically, it's the case that they are the, probably not Togo. Togo probably goes back, whatever. But Diesel.
It says Togo's probably, like named after a Japanese admiral, for what it's worth.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So, but a lot of, if you see like any dog you see on the, you know, the Kennel Club like dog shows on Thanksgiving or whatever, the names will all be the letter of the alphabet corresponding to the litter, so you can know like
I don't remember this from
in.
Best in Show.
I don't know how much research was in Best in Show, who knows.
I feel like it was extremely accurate. I will not hear otherwise.
I'm Alex Basement Papa.
Gabriella, aspiring beach babe.
I'm Amelia, family member.
I might have been Basement Papa before, possibly in an episode that was never released, possibly in an episode that was released. This is why we need a wiki. So I need to go, or at least the needs one of us to go back and listen to. Gabriella, beach sounds wonderful. I'm still looking forward to, I want to introduce my child to the ocean. They've never seen it.
Yeah.
But it was very hot today. Take our traditional, returning to our traditional WTTO weather report. It was very hot today, but now it is pouring. There's a huge thunderstorm, lots of lightning and flashing and, you know, that sort of stuff happening now. So not beach weather. You can beach in the... I would not recommend... I'm going to officially say that this is a stance of the show. Do not go to the beach during a lightning storm.
If I love the thrill of the chase? Of the almost getting destroyed by lightning?
If you get her into a chase with a bolt of lightning, you will lose that.
You don't know me. I could be surprisingly fast. Pew, pew. That's me being fast.
It's also nice to be a family member. We're turning a corner. I feel like things are happening. Mm-hmm. Been hugging my mom lately. That's really nice.
Nice.
It's been a long time since I could do that. So that's good stuff. Yeah. I feel good about most things. House got air conditioning, which is good. It broke this computer, but that was fine. And then it was 90 degrees today. So, you know, all things with time. I don't know what that means.
90 degrees is too many. I'm putting my foot down.
Especially, and it gets humid out here. It's a swampy state.
Yeah.
Celsius people don't talk to us.
Do not interact, Celsius people.
So I'm from a Celsius country. And mm-hmm. I am I like the metric system quite a bit. But the thing about Celsius is... I cannot find a more straightforward argument against Celsius than as it relates to human condition. The idea of like 0 degrees Celsius is like impossible, and 100 degrees Celsius is impossible. But in Fahrenheit, both of those are like temperatures that can be reached. And you know, like, zero is extremely cold.
I mean, 0 degrees Celsius.
And 100 is very hot.
Yeah, 0 degrees Celsius is not that cold.
But 100 degrees Celsius
is much too hot.
Unbelievably so.
I do like that they both overlap at around -40.
Mm-hmm.
That's satisfying.
Let us never...
This is just a fact that Gabriella thinks about and holds dear to her heart.
I don't know what it dipped.
That weather.
Well, in Chicago, we had some serious polar vortices when I lived there. Some truly awful ones, including ones where, like, you know, my girlfriend at the time's car door would not open because of how cold it was. And it's just with no ice, like, just simply would not. So that was a rough time. I would never wish on anyone.
My school, there was a polar vortex a couple years ago at my college, and I don't think my college had canceled a day of classes since the 90s, but it was so cold that they were saying, you know, you can't go outside for 10 minutes without suffering frostbite. And so, like, the night before the storm was supposed to hit, we got an email from them saying, like, be safe, and essentially, you better walk quickly.
On a campus, a lot of the buildings can't, like, you can't do that.
No, they were definitely residential dorms that were more than 10 minutes away from anything. So they rolled that back, but it was the funniest email I've ever seen. God.
It is very funny when they're, like, we've had that before when I used to work for Apple, the computer company. There were a lot of things where they were, like... use your judgment, or like, you don't have to. When the air conditioning would break there, they'd be like, you don't have to work, and I'd be like, oh, so I won't. Like, I don't understand it in a thing where I, like, you know, it can be different sometimes when you're, you know, in an hour when you're seeking hours, which I think we've talked about in this program, like if you're in a part-time job, but if I was in a full-time job, I would just like, no, I'm fine.
No, thanks.
Don't need to do that. Let's talk
That's
about
not life
this
or death.
Show.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, life or death.
Not life or death either.
WTTO is not an advice show. This is a show about advice. If you email us asking for advice, we will forward it to one of 1,000 podcasts that do that. Also, don't email us advice. We are already perfect. Practically everyone reveres, favors, envies, cares for, or tolerates us. So we have some classics here. We got a Miss Manners and a Dear Prudence. So Gabriella, can you tell us about this Miss Manners question?
All right. Yeah. So it is titled "Cleaning Up After Adult Son and His Girlfriend." Already red flags. Dear Miss Manners, I am happy that our 21-year-old son still lives with us. He is our only child, and his father and I are not eager to be empty nesters at this point. We enjoy his company. He is an extremely hard worker, putting in long hours running a division of the family business, and he leaves for work around 4:30 a.m. As his neat-nick mother, I make his bed for him most days, though he does know how.
When he arrives in all home, caps, does. Susan.
I know.
He does know how.
Miss Manners, my issue is with his girlfriend, who spends a few nights here each week. I like her, and as they are both adults, I am okay with this arrangement. I know that when she arrives, the bed is made nicely. However, when they leave together in the morning, the bed is either left unmade or haphazardly thrown together. Okay. Also, her empty or half-empty beverage containers are left on the dresser. I've occasionally given them both a friendly reminder about making the bed. As she is a guest, is it unreasonable that I should expect her to make up the bed as it was? At least she could suggest to my son that they do so together.
Oh my God.
Perhaps I'm old-fashioned. Are my expectations reasonable? Is there a gracious way for me to let my feelings be known?
Oh my God, why do you care?
Stop making the bed.
Why do you care?
It's like, do you want them to sleep on top of the bed cover?
I don't understand. Don't go in their room.
Don't go in their room at all.
No.
Like, if you're that happy that they live there, that's great. That's fine. Just don't go in their room.
Don't go in their room. I don't understand what's the problem. She could make the bed or she couldn't make the bed. Either option, I guess, is totally fine. I don't understand why introducing the girlfriend to it changes the situation so drastically in such a troubling manner. Like, I don't understand why the girlfriend is expected to make the bed. Why is she? I wouldn't. I didn't when I was 21 and sleeping at my boyfriend's house. Who does that? No one.
Well, it's like to, you know, the famous speech that Raul Julia gives in Street Fighter about, like, you know, the day I came to your village was the day that you remember forever. To me, it was Tuesday, which is like the girlfriend. This is just a situation where she sleeps over at her boyfriend's parents' house a couple times a week. It is not part of some elaborate system where he has stayed to avoid this thing. Is like, at this point, we're in no rush to be empty nesters. Like, 3 years after he became an adult, like, we're past like a marginal period, in my opinion, at 21.
And then he works for the family business. Like, I don't love that. I mean,
it's probably a construction business or something. It's something where it's like, it's a family business, but it still involves running a division. I get big, like, you know, contractor, and there might be a landscape architect part of it. You know what I mean? Like, there's something where it's like he does the roofing and they do the siding or something.
Yeah, with the hours mentioned.
Yeah, that definitely does make sense. I don't know. I got big make work vibes out of that. He's such a hard worker.
We gave him
his
own division.
Yeah, like, oh, isn't he? He's so smart. He just rose to the head of the division of the family business all on his own. And, you know, he doesn't make his own bed, but that's fine. He runs a division of the family, but it takes 2 seconds to make your bed. The adult son should be making his bed.
He should be not living in the house.
I mean, yes, he has a job.
He has a division head job. And he has a steady girlfriend, I guess.
I guess.
They're both adults, which is good. You love to hear it.
I'm surprised that she is comfortable sleeping over in his parents' house multiple times a week.
Yeah.
This doesn't strike me as like a big city situation, you know?
I guess, yeah.
This seems like a sitcom style house. If that makes
sense. Oh, you
think
he has like the basement unit, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that they share a bathroom.
Mm. Yeah.
I know we talk a lot on this show. We haven't in a while, but we talk a lot on this show about home layouts.
The mom is so upset that, like, they mess up the bed, or the girlfriend messes up the bed, as if the son doesn't also do that by sleeping every night. Like, it's, you know, making your bed is one of those, like, eternal chores. It's not something that you do and then it's set. So, like, why is she, like, when the bed is made... Like, when she comes over, the bed isn't made, and then the next morning it's messed up. It's like, that's just a crazy chain of events.
What I'm thinking about is how strongly the letter writer said he does know how. Mm-hmm. You know, reacted so strongly to when you were reading the letter. What I love about that is, and what I think about that is, like, does the girlfriend just need to write, like, a handwritten note that says in cursive script, I know how to make a bed? And that will satisfy it.
She needs to just prove. Like, she can the letter writer can watch the girlfriend make the bed.
Yes.
And
obstacle course. That's what we need a challenge system.
She needs to make a bed. She needs to fold a fitted sheet. She needs to pack a suitcase, and she needs to make a table. And once she has completed all these tasks, then she can leave her half empty beverage containers wherever she wants. That's the deal.
Now, Amelia,
mm-hmm.
when you say, do you say make a table instead of set a table?
No.
This is an important question.
I say set a table. Did I say make a table? And she needs to make a table.
You said make a table.
Okay, this is being recorded, so I can't pretend I didn't. But I say set a table.
Man, I just know, I wondered if that was an Americanism. I did not know.
No, we said
it wasn't
set
in my
table.
Book of idioms.
Like, make a tablescape, you know, like, set a fancy table.
Make a bed. That's
yeah.
The...
Yeah, make
the
a bed.
The point is make a bed.
Right. Feed a fever, starve a cold, make a table.
Also, one time my mom was in a beauty pageant, and her talent was packing a suitcase. So I come by this honestly.
That's so sweet.
I know.
Oh, I really love that.
Yeah. I don't think she won, but she should have. She had great gams.
Oh, man. Empty or half-empty beverage container is a weird word.
Put a garbage beverage can in there. Do they have a wastebasket in there? Some people don't have wastebaskets in their bedrooms. I don't know. Like, but also, just don't go in there. Just, mm-hmm. just don't go in there. Simply
also the idea
don't.
That like her passive aggressive comments have not been noticed.
I'm imagining the letter writer is saying these comments in the smallest whisper. Like when they've already left the room between a, like outside of a closed door is such the impression that I get from the letter writer about how they would approach their son about anything.
Or like they're all watching TV together in the evening and someone on the TV show is seen making a bed and the letter writer and her husband exchange a glance, and that is the friendly reminder.
The letter writer's the father of the subject of the letter, his only mention is that he has the family business and also is also not eager to be an empty nester at this point.
Yeah.
If he works at the family, this would be my like personal argument to this person in general. He works at the family business. He starts work at 4:30. You're going to see him a lot. You're not really like an empty nester if he lives in a different house, like, a couple minutes away.
That's true.
He's not going to move that far if he has to start work at 4:30. I assume their house is probably relatively close to wherever they're going to work. So, yeah. It's like, you know, I moved for college to fairly far. Not super far, but to a point where I would have to take a plane to see my parents, and I would typically see them like once or twice a year while I was living in Chicago. And like, you know, I know that was tough for my mom. And then like eventually I moved closer, and that's been nice now that we are able to see each other. But I don't think that it's fair to say I'm afraid of being an empty nester when your son, Your adult son of indeterminate size lives or works in a family business early mornings close to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't miss him that much. He's still there. Like, it's fine. If you don't get to make his, you could make his bed every morning. You could go in there, that could be part of your nighttime ritual. You go mess up his bed, and then in the morning, you go make it. And that makes you happy, I guess. Or it makes you resentful. I can't tell. I really can't tell.
Do you want to talk about the answer, Gabriella? I mean, sure. It's on what we're talking about, but.
So, gentle reader, have you tried just asking them to shut the door after themselves?
Oh my God, yes!
As more adult children continue to live with their parents, confusion has naturally arisen over the etiquette. Your son is not a guest, but neither is he a child. His girlfriend's presence increases the confusion. Miss Manners is gently indifferent, sure, to whether or not you continue to make your son's bed, but is clear on some points.
She doesn't want to yuck the letter writer's yum.
She should. Miss Manners is allowed to yuck my yum.
It's also like, oh my God, he's sleeping with his girlfriend and you want to, whatever. First, an adult child is expected to exercise the empathy and judgment of the former, not the latter. That means your son should be expressing occasional gratitude if you make his bed or getting your assent that, as it is his room, it is his decision to leave it unmade and doing what he can to be helpful around the house. Second, the girlfriend is a long-term guest, which means that she, too, should offer to help out. The way to establish an understanding is to discuss your mutual expectations and obligations with your son, leaving him with the job of telling her.
Oh, my yes. God.
Excellent. What is that? What's that word? I learned it recently, and I've already forgotten. For the tattoo that's, like, traditionally in Gothic script, like over your belly. I saw somebody use a word for that recently.
I don't remember what it's called.
But I'm just imagining one of those that says adult child. It's such a great set of. I love an adult child, mm-hmm. and like the former. I love that. I just think that's great. I think that Miss Manners is. Even goes too far of suggesting that the girlfriend is a long-term guest, because the drink containers, again, weird words, the beverage containers, that I can say, like, leaving trash in the room, that I will actually extend a little bit to. Like, I will be willing to say, okay, like, you don't have to make your bed, just shut the door, whatever. But trash can be a problem. Mm-hmm. Trash stinks. The trash eventually finds its way to the trash can at the end of the driveway or whatever. And that is probably not something that the son should take the trash out. That would be a good thing. But
I think Miss Manners' ultimate point kind of stands. I think there's, you know, levels of authority. He is responsible for his own room, and that includes managing his girlfriend as a guest within his own room, or a co-resident, I don't know, you know. And then, you know, him as a resident of the house also has shared responsibilities, but I don't know that the girlfriend is going to map this out, a house resident so much as like his guest, and so,
yeah,
you know, the authority doesn't transfer.
This is a thing, like, maybe as a final point, something we've also asked about before is, like, what's the girlfriend's deal? What's her living situation? Mm-hmm. Does he spend nights at her place?
Oh, great question.
Does she have a place? How long have they been dating? Should they move in together? These are, like, questions that a mother is not to ask, you know what I mean? Not.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of questions I have about a lot of people's deals in this letter. So
yeah,
what's
your business? Is it a mob front? Are you a fake construction guy?
What band posters
are on the wall?
Oh my god, and sanitation would totally work with the timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
This is AJ Soprano, and he needs to grow up. Mm. I've never seen that program. I want to.
No, me neither.
Heard it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, hot take. Okay.
No, my Italian grandma told me not to watch mob stuff, so I didn't.
not even Goodfellas?
No.
Damn. No,
I'm sorry. She told me this specifically about The Godfather, but I've just extended it to all other mob-related things. Also, I just find organized crime very boring as an entertainment product. Like, the motivations aren't interesting to me because the motivations are money. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Cool. Anyway, my final thought about this letter is that organized crime is boring.
So. And that's why it would be more exciting if it wasn't organized. Like the damn Joker.
Disorganized.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's talk about our second letter.
Okay, so our second letter is a Dear Prudence, and as you may or may not know, Danny Lavery has left the Dear Prudence. He has decamped to Substack because some people, not me or Gabriella, but some people make a lot of money on Substack. Subscribe to our Substack. But so this is actually from his penultimate live chat. Angry Roommate is the title. I took over an apartment lease after I broke up with my boyfriend. It was a friend of a friend of a friend. Kim and I don't have much in common, but we are both quiet and clean, so it is better than most. On Friday, Kim told me she was going out and didn't have any luggage. She wasn't home by Saturday afternoon, so I started to get concerned. I called and texted her, but no response. I didn't want to call the police, but during college, several young women went missing and were later found dead. One lived on my floor. Yeah, I mean, okay. The first 48 hours are the most critical in missing people cases. I went online and went through Kim's social media and found her parents and older sister. I was able to Google their addresses and found the home telephone of both. I called the older sister since it seemed the lesser of two evils and left a message. On Sunday, I got woken up at 6 a.m. from an unknown number. It was Kim's mom, and she was nearly hysterical. She wanted to know if Kim was home. She wasn't. Kim was home by mid-morning. She had gone over for a booty call that turned her into a weekend visit and forgot to charge her phone. She had to explain it to her family. She was incandescently furious at me. She said my behavior was sick and borderline stalker, that she didn't have to check in with me, and I wasn't her warden. I protested that she had just left with just her purse. Kim screamed at me that she had clothes in her car. At this point, I started shouting back. I was sorry. I was worried she might be dead in a ditch or in the hospital, but Kim could have just avoided this whole mess by telling me she would be gone for the weekend or just plugging in her phone. We aren't speaking, and the atmosphere of the apartment is suffocating. Did I step over a line here?
sidebar, and I shared it in the chat. There is a new Dear Prudence. They have not started yet. They're going to start in June. Janae Desmond Harris from the New York Times is joining Slate. I do not know them, but that'll be fun. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about whatever they have a column that's good. We'll do it for sure.
Huh.
Okay, so like yes, absolutely. This is ludicrous. What a ludicrous reaction to something. I'm sorry that horrible things happened at your college, but it was not enough time. Yeah. And you can listen to enough true crime podcasts and watch the first 48 and feel that things are so important. But Googling the address of family members, that's fucked. Like, unacceptable.
Yeah. Like, if you have to do that, that means you didn't already have that information in the first place. That means you're not close with this person. That means this person doesn't feel like they have to check in with you to assure you that they're not dead. Like, that's not the kind of relationship you have. And you know that because you've never met their family. You have no idea who they are.
What you've found is that this person is just your roommate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, I had plenty of roommates who, I wouldn't just say that the atmosphere of the apartment is suffocating because I don't talk to my roommates when I live in a, like, you know, 3-bedroom or whatever. Like, I might see them occasionally or ask them about something that is a group thing, but we don't, like, a friend of a friend is just, you had a reference for them to be your roommate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a relationship.
It's so weird, too, that they didn't reach out to this mutual friend. Like, that would be my first
thought. Totally. For sure.
And then, secondly, she's not a missing person. Like, I don't listen to true crime. I don't know the technical definition. But, you know, that would require, like, missing appointments and plans. You know, it's not missing a plan to not be on the living room couch. That would be, like, not showing up to work unexpectedly. Or missing, like, a dinner or a book club. Like, it's very
These
much
are
not
the activities, yeah.
The signs
on a weekend.
Missing.
Yeah.
On a weekend.
Yeah, it's
Friday night through Saturday afternoon. Normal times.
Yeah.
Letter writer, what are you doing with your weekend? Why are you just home Googling?
Hey, first of all,
it's a pandemic.
Yeah. Second of all, she just broke up with her boyfriend. Maybe she's sad, okay? Maybe she's looking for a project, and the project she has seized on, instead of, like, learning to knit, is stalking her not missing roommate.
She has too much time on her hands. She should get into video games. Mm. I hear there are good ones.
There's, like, a couple.
Solitaire, classic.
Oh, Solitaire's good, yeah. I used to play so much Solitaire.
I've been playing so much Boggle, it's not even funny.
How often did you give up?
The app won't let me open up any new games because I have too many going on.
I don't...
You have multiple ongoing... I can imagine doing that.
Why can't you finish a game? I don't understand
Well,
how...
you do it... It's the way the app works is it has you go in 3 rounds. So, you know, you go back and forth. Anyway, so, you know, little 20-minute increments of my day, I play a little round of Boggle.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about Solitaire is you can get in a position where it's unwinnable, and then you just say, well, fuck it. What a great situation to end up in a game. That is, you play with yourself.
Uh-huh.
That it's regularly happens that you've put yourself in a situation where you cannot do anything.
You're playing against
Very
the
fun.
Deck. It's you against the deck, and sometimes the deck is just better than you are at Solitaire.
I love to lose a game to a deck of cards that I got at a casino.
It's very honest, I think.
I used to play so much Solitaire. Like, it was what I did before there was, like, the internet on your phone. That was what I did with my hands when I was watching baseball. And I eventually found these, like, plastic cards that I didn't wear out as much as regular cards. And that was a real game changer for me. Highly recommend the plastic cards. And they're see-through, they're like clear plastic, and the numbers and stuff are like printed on them. They're really cool. I think they're in my nightstand.
I would love to keep talking about the question. However, yeah. I'm going to admit something that I think will open its own can of worms. I like to get playing cards from a particular store that it makes playing cards mostly for magic reasons.
Oh my god.
Okay.
It's called Theory 11. Have either of you ever seen or heard of Theory 11 playing cards?
In my what neighbor context? Is a magician, but like I don't talk to him.
They have truly beautiful playing cards, and they are, I'm going to share a link here, but they are primarily marketed towards magicians for whom having a nicely designed or beautiful playing card would be a draw because it would distract from what was happening. However, the cards themselves are beautiful. And it's great because a lot of the times they make things where like you can get four different colors. So if you're playing a game that involves having multiple decks in play at once, it's nice to have things where they're the same type of card but with different colors. Anyway, this is a free plug for Theory 11, but also a self-own for admitting that I have artisanal playing cards.
Yeah, I'm seeing these nerd-themed playing cards.
I don't know. This is new to me. I haven't seen any of these new ones, the nerd ones. They didn't exist when I saw.
Ooh, but Avengers the provision... and Mandalorian. Ho-ho.
Yeah, I would not touch that. They don't have cards in Star Wars. They play the chess game with the big ape guy.
Cards from TV and movies. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, the Monarch. Saturday Night Live playing cards. Live from New York, it's Saturday Night Live playing cards, it says.
Great. I think that this is, I mean, it is so clear that everything that the letter writer did was wrong. It's just, what can she do to atone for it, I think is the only real question.
Move out as soon as possible, because
I think so.
Yeah, this is not a relationship that is going to be it's not worth repairing. You don't have a relationship with this person, so like all you've done to her is like really fuck up her weekend and make her family mad at her. So I would just move, I guess.
Yeah, pack your bags and move away, as a competing podcast would say.
I mean, if you can find it in yourself to apologize, but...
Oh, definitely, you know. Apologize.
Oh, obviously.
Although, it is too late to apologize, technically, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done. Just because it's too late for the apology to be effective doesn't mean that the apology is not due.
Yeah.
I
don't know how much Kim would appreciate, like, you saying that you now understand what you did was wrong.
I won't do it again.
Yeah, the next time it comes up.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, as roommates, or if you knew that you had this anxiety, you should have discussed beforehand under what circumstances you escalate and how to do so. You don't just randomly call someone's mom, like, oh my god.
Yeah. I think that's a reasonable thing to have, like, a reasonable thing to have with your roommate is, like, you know, if you're gone for a day, can I just text you to make sure you're alive? Like, I don't know. That seems reasonable, but kind of weird. But reasonable, you know, we're women alive in the world.
I guess. I feel like there are the situations, the really only thing that I've ever coordinated with a roommate of this type is, you have my number if I'm locked out.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much it. And I, like, Danny writes, you should apologize, but you don't have to apologize for being worried, just for the conclusions. And I think you do have to apologize for being worried. I think you have to apologize for overstepping your emotional investment in a person you do not know, you just live with. Like, you have to apologize for believing that they are the subject of, you know, this is like there's a show Search Party where, like, inventing a story about a missing person because it gives your life meaning.
Yeah.
About how meaningful it would be if you found this missing person. It's like, fuck off. It's not, this isn't your story. It's not even her story. It's not a story. She went and, like, she met up with a guy and she didn't plug in her phone. It's fine. They're, you guys are young adults. Go do it. Whatever.
But also, what if Kim had been murdered and the roommate didn't say anything? Because, like, I do watch a lot of true crime, and that would be like, oh, the roommate didn't report, didn't say anything after they left for, they went out on Friday, went out in quote marks, and they didn't take any luggage, and you weren't worried that they were gone for 2 days, and then the roommate would be the murderer in that episode of Dateline.
So I'm going to spin that around. Mm-hmm. The roommate used personal databases on the dark web to find personal information about family members,
mm-hmm.
and contacted them and gave alibis.
Ooh.
Does that sound like a murderer?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right? So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you're already getting like featured in the Dateline story, you're fucked either way.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing that she did was helpful. Because if you're with this, like, you know, single girl who occasionally is going out with, I can't imagine this was like her first ever booty call or whatever. The idea of like, well, I know who I should check with, her family, who I've never talked to.
Yeah.
That's just absurd.
Yeah.
Also, just like, once you're dead, like, you're dead. I don't know enough about true crime, but like, if you find the body one day later versus like three, like really, you know, I don't know. Like, wow. If I were Kim, you know.
I don't know.
I mean, well, it's like, I guess if she was like kidnapped or something, mm-hmm. that doesn't happen. Oh my god.
So this is extremely morbid, and I may or may not put this in the podcast because I feel like we already got a good ending. But I just saw a news story because a like 70-something-year-old woman in Japan has been arrested because she called the cops about what to do about her son's corpse.
Ah.
It doesn't appear, or it isn't clear that she actually was involved in the death, but. What she's been arrested for is apparently it's illegal to have a corpse in your house.
I mean,
after a certain amount of time, like that itself is illegal.
Know what to do? I guess yeah.
You call 911 and you say a person died in my house and they send a coroner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you do in America. For the listeners out there, if you don't know. What to do if someone dies in your house? That's what you do.
That's good advice. Mm-hmm. This is an advice show, maybe, but only about this one thing. The only advice this show will ever give is call 911 if a person dies in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they don't die in your home, but the body is in your home, same deal.
Yeah. If you however it comes to you. Of a corpse, call 911.
It is general knowledge that a person
oh my God.
Being in possession of a corpse.
Wait, my other
be in want of a coroner.
My other funerary legal advice is they have to put the ashes in whatever container you show up mm-hmm. with legally. They're not allowed to refuse you. So if you want to use a jam jar, you want to do Folgers coffee, like they have to give it to you. You don't have to buy a stupid urn.
Mm-hmm.
You can put also, it in whatever.
You don't legally have to be embalmed. They're going to tell you that legally you have to be embalmed. That is a lie. You do not have to be embalmed. You don't have to do anything they tell you, really. This
gonna,
is an advice
they're
show.
They're going to put me in a shroud and they're going to drop me off a boat.
Hell
and that's gonna
yeah,
be
they
great.
Are. It's going to whip.
But there's like
that's
an aquatic,
so cool.
Not aquatic. There's like a hydro cremation thing.
Yes.
It's very cool. I mean, should I say it's good? It is cool. Morbid, I guess.
It's extremely cool.
We've been getting into it.
Okay, so basically they put your body in some kind of lye water bath,
mm-hmm.
and all like your flesh is removed and disposed of via the sewer system, and then your bones are left, and then those are cremated, and it's an incredibly low carbon footprint compared to traditional cremation.
Hell yeah. Make me into a slurry. That is what I want. No, I want to be cremated and then you plant a tree over me. I have it figured out. There's a park up by where my parents live that does that. It's part of a wetland restoration.
So Amelia is the earth burial. Mm-hmm. I'm the water burial. I guess the hydro process is like, I don't know what that is.
Well, not a Tibetan sky burial.
Yes, a Tibetan sky burial. Yes,
a Tibetan sky burial is basically just a ground burial, but it's on top of the ground.
No, Amelia is the bird person.
That's true. I would love, it would be an honor to be eaten by vultures. They're so good. Vultures are amazing. They only weigh like 3 pounds. And they're so big. I'm sorry.
Shout out to them big birds with them tiny bones.
Hell yeah.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.